All right, Kevin Barker. So, I mean, math is not my strong point, as you well know. But unless I'm wrong, Austin Hayes has as many home runs at the Rogers Center in four at-bats as Vladdy does in 108. Maybe it's 107. 104. 4. Yeah, that's 108. 7-2, the Blue Jays have lost to the Baltimore Orioles. And folks, if you needed evidence about the disparity between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, I mean, this is a pretty strong exhibit. Henderson, Rutschman, Mountcastle, O'Hearn, what did they do? Three. I got them like 3 for 60, something like that. Austin Hayes, 2 home runs. Santander, a home run. Ramon Urias with a home run. Pete Walker knew what he was doing getting ejected in this thing early, man.
Yeah, look, the only thing you can take away from this, if you're a Blue Jays fan, is Grayson Rodriguez might be pitching game 2 of the World Series. Like, that may be the only thing, right? And we've talked about this on our show forever, right? It's the at-bat against a guy where you have to hit it where it's pitched. Rodriguez basically was going glove side to righty after righty after righty. The lefties that came up, he wasn't really afraid of those. So it was mainly, okay, you're going to get my fastball away at 97. You'll get my fastball up just to keep you honest, change your eye level. I'll throw my slider tunneling off my fastball away. I don't think you can make an adjustment. I don't think you can single me to death to right field or get out front, create a little backspin, get an extra base hit, put together, you know, a inning where it's sort of passing the baton by just giving or taking what the pitcher gives you. So it's those at bats, right? It's rare. Now, look, I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can, Jeff, because you know I am Mr. Positivity. It is rare that John Schneider makes out his lineup and goes, man, our lineup has more talent than the dude standing on the mound. It's rare. And tonight was just one of those things where Grayson Rodriguez showed up. He was better than the Jays lineup. Like, that's basically the gist of it. I mean, I could sit on here and tell you that, you know, this, that, and the other about mechanics and what they're swinging at. And, you know, it is amazing that if Bo gets a ball right down the middle, how hard he hits it to the big part of the field, right? Sometimes when you're struggling the way he's been struggling, what was that? Snapped an 0-for-16 with a double to right center on a fastball right down the middle. I mean, if you're struggling, sometimes just because of the fact that you're either not seeing the ball well, you're not mechanically on time, whatever's not feeling good, you have to really refine what you do not swing at. Looking right down the middle and allowing a guy to give it to you right down the middle, I think would be a decent approach. So maybe Cabo could, you know, build off of that and look right down the middle and put his A swing on that and get some confidence, and then maybe can catch fire. Vladdy with the home run. So, you know, there were a few positives, but I'm with you. There's a giant separation between the Orioles and the Blue Jays.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 7-2, the Blue Jays beaten handily by the Baltimore Orioles. Kevin Gausman. Velo was up, Kevin, across the board. Splitter was up almost 2 miles an hour. Four-seamer was up almost a mile an hour. So some of the concerns about the velocity with Kevin Gausman may be put to bed. And you made a point when we were just chatting, watching the game. It's almost irrelevant because sometimes the other lineup is just too good for you. Yeah. And the Orioles were too good for Kevin Gausman tonight.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were.
Can't put it
any other way.
Yeah, I think the splitting was splitting most of the time. He threw enough good sliders to sort of keep him off the split finger, which is the whole point. I mean, the two-seamer, yeah, I guess. I mean, you mentioned that the velocity was good. You look at the home run, Santander on the homer that he hit to right field off the fastball up. That was after a split finger down. So he basically did exactly what he wanted to do, right? He showed him down to try and get a swing and miss up. That's a good hitter looking for a pitch, being short and quick, throwing the barrel at the baseball. You beat a dude when he threw a really good pitch. The Colton Cowser double after the Santander two-strike single was just a really bad pitch. Not sure why you flip a slider. Oh. So that's the one little thing, right? I bet if he wanted that back, he would probably throw something a little different, maybe a split finger down. The Austin Hayes thing, the 2-2 home run that he gave up, the two-run homer in the fourth inning, that was a splitty that didn't split. And then the solo shot that he gave up was a fastball down the middle. So, yeah, it was location. But, again, he did some things to certain guys that he wanted to do. That was just better hitting at the time. And it's very hard, lefty-righty, switch hitters. You got to be perfect to both sides of the plate, all kinds of quadrants. When you're not, to make you pay for it.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We have not had a chance to talk to you since Vladdy's moved to third base on Sunday. He was back at first base tonight. We have not had a chance to talk to you since Ross Atkins came out and said everything is okay.
Is that what he said?
Got some, pretty much. If you got some comments... If you got some comments you want to direct those particular – well, I mean, more or less he did.
He did say that.
He said,
I just
Bo
wanted
and Vladdy
to
are in a good
it.
Spot, I thought he said.
He did say that.
They're happy with their process.
Oh, boy.
If you want to chime in on that, feel free. 416-870-0590, *590. Parker, you're making me
I don't want to chime in.
888-666-0590. Hey, I bet Russ in New Jersey does. Russ, what's up?
How you doing tonight?
I'm in a good mood, Russ. I don't know why, but I'm in a good mood.
That's good. I want to talk about really about the offense, but I thought maybe you should have had that kid who hasn't had a hit in the major leagues. He just came up, and I looked at his minor league stats. I thought they should have maybe walked Hayes, you know, before he hit the two-run homer. But I want to talk about the offense again. Now, this is my own – you could tell me I'm crazy, but this is my own what I put together, and it's unbelievable. The Toronto Blue Jays have struck out the second least times in Major League – times in Major League Baseball, the second lowest times. That means they're not coming up there and swinging wildly. They have walked the sixth most times in baseball. Now, you take the other five teams that are on top of them. I don't have it in front of me, but it's the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees. How in the world – so they're getting people on base. The other day I looked, they were 10th in on-base percentage in baseball. So tell me, you don't strike out, you walk. Why are you 25th or 26th in runs? And the answer is talent. Because even when they get a pitch to hit, they can't hit it, you know, to get the big base hit or the double. You know, they talk about defenses, team, and Kiermaier is a great defender. But typically, now the game was basically over, but it's first and third, one out, 6-2. Yeah, he saves a lot of runs in the outfield, but some of these guys give up a lot of runs when they have the bat in their hands. But that's an amazing stat that they don't strike out, they walk like anything, and they still can't score runs. You tell me, I've never seen that.
I mean, I'll turn it over to Barker. I'll tell you one thing. Thanks. It says to me that they're passive. It says to me that they're passive. It says to me that, what was it that Buck Martinez said today when he was on our show, Kevin, about fouling off pitches that are supposed to end at bats, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Russ, again, I'll pass it over to Kevin. I think they're way too passive. And then having said that, I was thinking about Kevin Kiermaier's at bat where he basically swung at two pitches that.
With the runner on third and less than two outs?
Yeah, and they were nowhere near the strike zone.
Yeah, I mean, he missed the fastball, I think the 0-1 fastball that was basically center cut right down the middle, and then he chases the
What does it say to you, Kevin, though? Because Russ makes a good point. Okay, yeah, it's not like they strike out a ton. And they do draw their walks.
Yeah, look, again, I think that is because, a lot of that is middle-of-the-order guy who can drive in runs. Right? They don't have a run producer. We've been saying this forever. I mean, I said this 2 years ago when spring training started, when I was standing in spring training and it was 149 degrees, and I was looking around on the baseball field when everybody's out there, and I was saying to you on our show, who the heck's hitting cleanup? Who's driving in all of these guys that are walking and having the 8-pitch great at-bats the khakis love? And, like, who's driving them in? I think that is one of the situations. And, you know, I think Russ is on a little bit something about the talent and you know, 1 through 9, just the balance and, you know, the righty-lefty, tough to pitch to. Like, you know, you can basically get a bunch of these guys out with fastballs away. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez.
How long do you think opposing teams' pitchers' meetings are with these guys?
Not very long. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez did it with 2 pitches. I mean, he threw a 4-seamer slider, he sprinkled in them other 2 pitches. And I do mean sprinkled. Like, I think it's – you got a decent fastball. You can locate that middle away and force them to catch it out front and do something big part of the field or middle the other way. And, you know, I think that's what Russ's point is with when it comes to the talent side of it and, you know, just the ability to lay off of what you don't want to swing at. Why do you think they're trying to yell and scream at us about get the pitch that you can drive, dude? Get the pitch that you can do damage on. That's the passive part that you're talking about. Is a lot of guys have power to the pull side. They don't have a lot of power up the middle the other way. So if I can't drive it there early in counts, why would I swing at it? That, I think, again, is their words, not mine. I'm just going by what they say, and what you see and what I see sort of adds up to what they say. And that's tough living in the American League East, Jeff. I mean, taking what the pitcher gives you sometimes, occasionally you got to do that. And, you know, when you struggle doing it, you get beat 7-2.
We have John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, discussing the Orioles' approach against Kevin Gausman. Ooh.
I mean, they had a pretty specific approach, it looked like, just looking for balls up in the zone. I know Hayes hit the splitter, but I don't think it wasn't carrying as much as it has been. And they were aggressive on fastballs up. You know, Santander hits a ball out of the zone for a 2-strike homer. You know, second one from Hayes was just kind of middle, but they do damage. And you got to try to avoid it. You got to try to pitch to weak contact against these guys instead of trying to strike them out because they're not going to give in. And I thought they had a good approach against Kev.
That is John Schneider, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta locate. You gotta make things look like strikes to the last second when you don't. Again, Jeff, this is why, you know, you could argue the Orioles are the second best team in the American League, and they're right there with the Yankees, right? And they get some decent pitching, and they figure out what they're going to do in that pen. They're going to be a giant handful, and they're more experienced now, right? They expect to win. Like, you can just see their at-bats, the way they walk on the field. Like, the expectation of it's win day is there. Jays look like that to you?
Well, no, and the other thing, too, is, you know, we didn't – you look at the Orioles, you look at their – you know, they brought up their 6th best prospect today. You look at his numbers, compare them to the Blue Jays prospects. You know, that just – it stresses – again, just reinforces how deep that organization is and how they are perfectly positioned to make the type of deal you need to make to get them over the hump. And I'm with you. We forget. You know, I think last year was a good experience for that team. Yeah, they did not fare well in the postseason, but they're bringing just about everybody back. You know, they don't have Felix Bautista. Like, we sit here and you know, look at the Blue Jays without having Jordan Romano this year. Well, the Orioles haven't had their guy all year, and they still somehow managed to make it work, and they're probably going to go out and add another arm at the back end of the bullpen. They're just, again, I know Blue Jays fans aren't going to want to hear this, but folks, you might as well get used to it, because this ain't going to change for about 5 years. Like, there's nothing, you know, they might lose Anthony Santander, you know, maybe, and eventually Cedric Mullins, and maybe Corbin Burns walks, but I mean, they're not going to fall off the cliff. The Orioles are what we thought the Jays were in Bo and Vladdy's early years, multiplied by about 100.
Yeah, well, Rushman and Henderson were supposed to be Bo and Vladdy. That's what it was supposed to look like, right? That Vladdy was supposed to have a 20 home run 60 games into the season, and Bo was supposed to be hitting 400 with running scoring position and playing great defense and running all over the place, stealing bases and those kind of things. And, boy, you flip-flop that. It's just amazing, right? The Orioles have 3 legitimate playoff starters, and they have a lineup full of bad intentions – I mean, they just got dudes going up there that know. Listen to it in John's voice. Mm-hmm. Like, they were full of those bad intentions going up there thinking, if all I got to do is get that thing up in the strike zone, and we're just going to get frisky on that thing. And that's exactly what it looked like. And, again, I get back to that. Sometimes, Jeff, your manager just has to write your name in a lineup and go, we got more talent than that dude standing on the mound. And that's basically what Brandon Hyde does almost every single day.
Yeah. No, that I mean, it's as easy as that.
It is.
On no planet is this Blue Jays lineup anywhere near as good as the Baltimore Orioles lineup. It's just not. Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. First of all, it should be Vladdy bobblehead every night. If he's going to hit home run every night, he has a bobblehead. I mean, that'd be fun.
Okay.
Anyways, what I was going to say is, you know, I heard Ross Atkins comments the other day, or I read in comments, and if I'm Spencer Horwitz, I'm requesting a trade, because how the hell is he going to get to the big leagues if everything's just fine? I mean, honestly, I love Kevin Kiermaier, but I think to me tonight should be kind of the end of the Kevin Kiermaier experiment. I mean, like, what is this team? I mean, are we just happy with the way things are going? Or, like, when is the shakeup going to come? Is it going to come after the trade deadline? Like, how long are we going to wait? And if I'm Spencer Horwitz, I'm like, what the hell, guys? Call me up. When am I going to get a shot?
Yeah, Sam, I appreciate the call. Look, we've talked about that. You know, Daniel Vogelback had a good week to 10 days, so, you know, he's the cleanup hitter. I mean, that's where we are with the Blue Jays. I can't put it any other way. They are literally they're not only trying to catch lightning in a bottle, they're trying to create lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
Basically is what John Schneider is doing right now. And that's not on him. Like I said on Blair and Barricade, there is no world where in February John Schneider said, man, I hope I got Vladdy at third so I can put Daniel Vogelback's bat in my lineup. There just wasn't. There may not even been a world 3 weeks ago where John Schneider thought that. I mean, let's be clear about what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a lineup that is piss poor.
Yeah.
I can't put it any other way. And yeah, maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's something that only four or five people in that front office can see, and the rest of baseball and us, we're just too stupid to see it. But again, just ask yourself how many guys in the Blue Jays would make the Orioles right now. Go through that lineup and tell me who in the Blue Jays would make the Orioles. Maybe two guys. Maybe. And I don't know how the hell you'd put, I mean, Bo would have to move to second base because he ain't moving Gunnar Henderson off short.
Nope.
Vladdy would be at first, I guess. We're just playing a game here. But seriously, ask yourself that. Then ask yourself how many Jays relievers would be in the Orioles bullpen. I mean, you can't put it any other way. This is... The Yankees and the Orioles are the two teams you got to measure yourself against if you're the Blue Jays. And the Orioles are going to be the measuring stick for 4 or 5 years down the road. It's entirely possible the Yankees re-sign Juan Soto and everything's good and they go on another 4 or 5 year run. But I kind of doubt it because they are not as well positioned financially as the Orioles to do that. So this is what you're going to be comparing yourself to. And I got news for you. The Orioles lineup's going to be better next year. It's going to be better. Yeah. Apparently everything's fine. Apparently, I'm not saying that the front office is happy with not winning, because I don't think they are. But apparently they think that what they have is good enough to win. And I don't know, how does that change? Who do they trade? Jimmy Garcia, Yusei Kikuchi, Danny Jansen? Are they going to, at this point, you're probably not going to make a deal that's going to make you better for this year. You're going to make a deal that you're probably with an eye towards next year. And you can't do that and say that you're going to commit to Vladdy. But it just doesn't make sense. It's like the Jays are and maybe this is all just a grand, Kevin, just a grand plan on the part of the Blue Jays to muddy the waters, and maybe they really know what they're doing, and they're just kind of screwing around with the rest of us and screwing around with baseball, and they have a clear plan and everything. But, yeah, it's going to be hard. You know, and I don't know, what was the attendance tonight? Because for a bobblehead night, I saw a lot of empty seats. And maybe I'm just...
At the end, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, yep. Maybe people are getting their bobblehead dolls and leaving. I don't know. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. So if you're John Schneider, Kevin... And you know you're probably not getting any help from your front office. You know that maybe Spencer Horwitz comes up. And, you know, that's not a game changer for me. It might make the lineup better. It might give it a different look. But it's not a game changer for me. So I don't know. I don't know what he does. I don't know what people expect him to do. I would love somebody to call up and tell me, this is what John Schneider has to do. If you've got an answer, call us up. Say, this is what John Schneider has to do with this lineup. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. 7-2 of the Baltimore Orioles have waxed the Blue Jays in the first game of a four-game series at the Rogers Center. We are going to take a break, come back, hear more from the manager, and go back to the phone lines as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
They're a good team. I don't want to sit here and say that the 27 Yankees, they're not that good, but they're a good team, you know? So when you navigate the top, you can see you still have to, they're still big league hitters, they're still good big league hitters, you know? Again, I'm not taking credit away from them. They've done a lot of really good things with both their young players and the guys that have been here. But still, you have to execute and navigate every single hitter. Good night from Hayes and good night from Santander, but that's how they're built. You know, they're built to do damage, and you know, that part of the order kind of got us tonight. And one quick thing, I don't want to discredit them. I know I said they're not the 27 Yankees. Please don't make that be the headline. They're a good team, but you have to find a way to go through their whole lineup. So that's, again, taking nothing away from them.
John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, a wise man, not taking anything away from the Baltimore Orioles.
Jeff, I'm sorry. They scored two freaking runs. Two runs.
Well, the better pitcher on the mound tonight was the Orioles pitcher. So why?
Yeah, I know, but
surprised?
They scored two runs. I mean, what's the expectations for the Blue Jays rotation? I mean, we didn't think that the rotation is going to take a step back from what it was doing last year. Absolutely right. It's not a perfect rotation. Yeah. Two runs.
Speaking of that, 7-2 is the final tonight. The Baltimore is beating the Toronto Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. Gee and Maple, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, this is what this team is. They're just not a very good team. They're the worst team in their division. You made a really good point. The Orioles aren't going anywhere. I don't think the Yankees are going anywhere. I mean, how many bad years in a row have Tampa ever had since they've come into the league? You know, I mean, this team is a mess. You know, they're a mess. They're not going to let go of their manager because that's the last clip that Atkins has, and he's going to keep it, and he's going to use him as a shield until the end of the year. And Shapiro's not going to let this guy go. I mean, this guy, he's never let him go. He's best friends with this guy, and I can't believe – you know what they're doing. I mean, it was fool's gold. Like, they won 5 out of 6 games against the White Sox and the Pirates, who didn't have their two best pitchers starting against us. And then all of a sudden, people are all excited against playing Baltimore. They'll be lucky to win a game in this series, let's be honest. And we're going nowhere. And the one guy who brought up the Spencer Horwitz, and yeah, he's not going to save us, but at least you get a guy in there who's getting on base consistently. He did okay when he was up here last year. And giving the guy a shot, it's better than what we got here right now. I mean, just, you know, they moved 6 guys out of position just so they could get Vogel back in the lineup. Right. Like, what a joke.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? Man. Yeah, I appreciate the call. You know, look, I get, I know that, you know, the analytics versus all gaga about Daniel Vogelbach, and understandably, because there's nobody else in the team really hitting worth a damn right now. But let's be clear, it's Daniel Vogelbach. You know, you don't move your Gold Glove first baseman. I mean, he won it a couple of years ago. Who knows if he'll ever win another one? But you don't move Vladdy Guerrero you don't move Vladdy Guerrero off first base to get Daniel Vogelbach's bat into the lineup, or for that matter, to get Justin Turner's bat in the lineup at a time when he's really not doing much either. Robin Porthope, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Rob.
Hey.
Go ahead. We got you.
I'm getting sick and tired of people calling in and saying John Schneider's not a very good field manager. How do you know? You know, it's like saying to a sales guy, you can't sell when the marketing guy doesn't give him a good strategy and a good product. You don't know. Now, there are times when he makes good moves. I like him. There's times when he makes dumb moves. I don't like him. But you can't tell me John Schneider's not an MLB manager with the crap he's been given by management. This team right now, when you look at the separation between Baltimore and this team, despite the fact that their payroll is a lot less than our payroll, and they are at the same place in their life cycle in 2016 when these two guys took over the team. Remember, we won the wild card game, and I was at that game, and you're thinking, okay, what are they going to do? Are they going to try to hang on to this group? Are they going to try to rebuild and get us a good product, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now? Well, they did neither. You know, they sort of muddled their way through, and this is what we got now. We got mediocrity. And we don't have a lot of hope. There's not a lot of, if you look at the system, there's not a lot coming up underneath. So I think Ed Rogers has got to come in and sweep these two guys away. Not that I think Shapiro's pretty bright. I've said that before. He's got a lot of money out of Rogers. God love him. He's sunk it into the system. He's sunk it into the facilities. Good for him. But he's also given this guy $250 million of payroll, twice as much as the Orioles. And look at this thing that's on the field. Look at this product. People calling in saying John Schneider can't be a MLB manager don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Rob, I appreciate the call. I've said, look, he's not the best manager I've covered. He's not the worst. Listen, trust me, I am not afraid to say that I'm not impressed with a manager. But in this case, yeah. I'll tell you what, whatever I may have thought about John Schneider after the postseason last year, I'm less inclined to blame him now than I was last year. I can't put it any other way. I think we all know where the blame needs to go. And let's be clear. You know, what has Ross Atkins done? He signed a bunch of older free agent pitchers. He's given them money, which I have no problem with that. Good. Go out and sign free agent pitchers. In terms of position players, they're basically living off Bo and Vladdy. They've been living off Bo and Vladdy now for the better part of 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Can't say it any other way. They've had a few, you know, Alec Manoah's happened. That's great. That's great. That was fine. But in terms of the lineup, they've been living off Bo and Vladdy. And the one thing Ross Atkins has done well is spend money on free agent starting pitchers. But that ain't enough. You know, it's just not enough. And you could see, folks, you could see this coming 2 years ago. You could certainly see it coming last year. I defy anybody to tell me that they are stunned at what they've seen this year based on the way last year went. And you just can't say that. Gary in Kawartha Lakes, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Couple quick things. I was talking to your screener. We're talking about, you know, back in the days when the Jays had an interesting lineup, 15-16, and we'd sit out in the lake and cook steaks and watch Jays games. Now, I have a question probably for you, Jeff, because you've been around Toronto sports. Is Ross Atkins the most hated executive in Toronto sports history? Because everyone I know can't stand him, and he's got to go. He's got to go.
Thanks for the call. I'm not all that familiar with everything that has gone on with the Raptors and the Leafs in the past. John Ferguson Jr., I don't think was universally loved. But ladies and gentlemen, can I introduce you to J.P. Ricciardi? But what I will say about that is J.P. Ricciardi didn't have a $250 million payroll. He just didn't. It wasn't they didn't cry poor all the time. I mean, they gave Vernon Wells a lot of money. They gave Roy Halladay some money. They signed A.J. Burnett and B.J. Ryan. But all things considered, they didn't, I don't think, have the financial clout behind them that this front office has behind them. And, you know, this front office also, unlike J.P. Ricciardi, they had an opportunity because the Yankees are in a bit of a downward spiral. And J.P. Mm-hmm. Ricciardi was GM. The Yankees are still really good. They're kicking everybody's ass. That, you know, that hasn't been the case for the past couple of years. So, you got to remember, J.P. Ricciardi had his own call-in show. And I think for that reason, he was out there more than Ross Atkins. But I will say this. I don't know if I've been around a GM that people instantly tune out as much as they tune out Ross Atkins. Well, they didn't turn out. You had to listen to JP because something was going to be said. Something was going to be said. But I don't know if people even listen to Ross Atkins, Kevin.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. They've known what the issue has been for the last two off seasons. Have basically done nothing, absolutely nothing, to fix it. Why is that? Explain that, Jeff. Do you have an answer for that?
Nope. I mean, your big offensive acquisitions in the last 2 years have been Brandon Belt and
Justin Turner. IKF.
And you made a trade for Dalton Varsho. But other than that, and you signed Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, you haven't had a cleanup hitter. You haven't had a cleanup hitter for 2 years. And, you know, both Brandon Belt and Justin Turner are getting up there. Like, it should not be a surprise that Justin Turner's had a setback this year.
Turner's been up there for a while.
Yeah. Anyhow. 7-2. Hey, the good thing about baseball is
they get to play tomorrow.
We get to do it again tomorrow.
Hey, it's not the Orioles, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Who's pitching for the Orioles?
Don't even go there. Corbin Burns.
Oh, what?
That's it for us tonight. 7-2. The Blue Jays have lost.
Right now.
Don't forget. Stop it, Barker. You're interfering with my closing here. Don't forget tomorrow, Blair and Barker from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Elliott Lake and Sault Ste. Marie. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.